1029 The Hog presents another Bob and Brian podcast.
This Bob and Brian podcast is brought to you by Marcus Theaters. Fun, safe, and stress-free gatherings were hard to plan until now. For only $99, you can reserve a theater for a private showing for up to 20 of your friends and family. Details online at marcustheaters.com.
Let's find out what's happened in the world of music in the last week with our music expert, Gary Graff. Good morning, Gary. How are you?
All right. How are you?
We're lovely.
We're melting snow on this side of the lake. Are you doing that over there?
Us too. Lots of melting.
All right. Excellent. Let's start off with this one. He's not going to jail.
No.
Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce Springsteen did appear in court, as he was supposed to, and the state dismissed the serious charges. You know, the most serious, operating a vehicle under the influence and driving recklessly, i.e., drunk driving. This was from back in November. You know, they charged him a lesser fee. He paid a $500 fine plus $40 in court fees. A great exchange between him and the judge. The judge asked, how long do you think it'll take you to pay the fine? And Springsteen said, I think I can probably pay it today.
Yeah. So, and that was the end of that. Bruce goes on his way.
Yeah, that's the end of that. The Jeep ad is back up.
So online. His blood alcohol content was?
That was what? Drunk. It was 0.2 in a 0.8 state.
0.02. Not
0.02. 0.02 in a 0.8. Sorry.
Right. And 0.8 is considered impaired.
0.08 would be considered dead. Yeah, 0.02 in a 0.08 state.
Right.
So. Did you hear about the guy who set the record?
0.77,
and he was still alive?
Ooh. And driving a car.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. I think it was probably you get past a point of impairment where you're back to, you drink yourself back to clarity.
You go so far around.
You went all the way around.
I know what you mean, but I don't think that's true, Gary. I think
probably not.
So I don't know why he should have never been in court.
He should have been in court because that's what, the bust itself seems a little specious, but. You know, he was busted. He got a ticket. He needed to appear in court. But the rest of it, no. You know, I think he was handled pretty much like you or I or would be.
That's how it should have been handled.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
there was an open container thing in there, though, wasn't there?
Well, yeah.
All right. Well, that'll get you into court. Let's go to more crazy. This time, Phil Collins was nowhere around this, but his ex-wife and her husband, were told to get off a yacht or raise in hell on a yacht.
They were raising hell on a yacht, Orianne Chevet, Phil Collins' ex-wife, who's caused him all sorts of issues in his life. She and her new husband, Thomas Bates, were checking out a Sunreef yacht, 40-foot Power Diamond limited edition boat at the Seaside Club in Miami. And there are all sorts of reports about the diva behavior, especially by her yelling at the staff to bring her more champagne, yelling at them because it wasn't there quick enough.
So hold on, and were they yacht shopping, Gary?
Supposedly. I mean, they may have just been yacht sampling as opposed to shopping.
Like and the people who go to the grocery stores and get the sausage and cheese.
Saturday exactly. At Sam's Club.
On a toothpick.
My Saturday at Costco.
Yeah. Only it's with yachts. Except
this was on a yacht.
Yelling for more champagne.
Yelling, wow. and admonishing them for not bringing it quickly enough. So, you know, just the kind of behavior. Now, the one thing I didn't see in this report and that I did wonder about were the Real Housewives of Miami cameras around? Because it seems like something they would do for that.
You beat me to the punch. I was going to say, are we sure she's not auditioning for Real Housewives?
Well, I thought I think she's a done deal.
Is she already a Real Housewife?
Not yet, but I think I thought I'd heard it's a done deal that she's going to be in the cast. So
okay.
It seems like the kind of thing they'd put on the show.
Sure. Horrible behavior is what makes the show. Want to make sure you're on the show.
Yeah. So because we like Phil so much, we certainly believe this would be the way she is in real life anyway.
Yeah, it's not really an act. She's not doing anything out of the ordinary here.
Exactly.
What's going on with Soundgarden and... that whole lawsuit thing.
This has been a whole thing between Soundgarden and Vicky Cornell, Chris Cornell's widow. She had, you know, they traded lawsuits last year over unreleased material that the group had recorded with Chris that she had possession of, but the group is saying, no, this is band material. We were recording Soundgarden music. That's still in motion, but now she filed a lawsuit against Soundgarden, Vicky Cornell did, saying that, you know, basically over a buyout, you know, them buying her out of Soundgarden, her interests out of Soundgarden. She said they offered her $3,000, which she didn't think was enough. And she pointed out that I guess the band had an offer of $16 million for its catalog from a third party, you know, from an outside buyer. The band is firing back. Well, first of all, we've offered her more than $300,000, so that's wrong. Secondly, we have all these outside offers to buy the catalog are not solicited. They come to us unsolicited, and we've turned them all down. So the band is saying they're trying to be fair, trying to reach an agreement. Vicky Cornell says they're trying to lowball her, and you know she has actually sued them in court over that. So, you know, and this might be the best thing to have happened. You know, maybe a court can suss it all out and, you know, help them negotiate to a settlement.
Is this the sort of thing that if you just gave it to an accountant, they could sort it out for you and go, okay, here's the real numbers. Here's
probably
where we are.
Sure.
All right.
Sure.
So is there a good guy or a bad guy in this story?
You know, not really. I think we, no. I mean, you want everybody to wind up being happy.
Or is this just a little dust up among business partners?
Right, exactly. Exactly. You know, she wants to maximize what she gets out of her interest in the estate, and Soundgarden doesn't necessarily want to lowball her, but wants it to be reasonable and wants to have a lot of money left over for the other three band members and have the ability to maximize that profit in the future.
What would a Framing Britney Spears sequel be about?
Well, these guys say the folks who made the Branding Britney Spears documentary say they have a lot more left in the tank. Sorry, Framing Britney Spears, that they have more in the tank. They have more footage. They have more notes. So they were asked this week, you know, would you consider a sequel? And they said, absolutely. You know, they also want to wait and see how all the conservatorship stuff plays out, but they definitely feel like they have more. And you know, as we spoke about last week, Netflix is still considering a rest of the story Britney Spears documentary, you know, to kind of hopefully to shoot a little wider than Framing Britney Spears does.
Have they got any actual footage of them talking with Britney Spears? Because that was lacking from that.
Yeah, and they don't.
And according to that series, they can't talk to her unless her dad says she can talk to him, right?
That's part of the conservatorship.
Right.
Now, of course, the dad has a partner in it, so I don't know. You know, they'd have to go to court. If one party says yes, the other party says no, they'd have to go to court and figure it out.
Make a show out of that alone, I suppose.
Hey, you know what happens when you screw with Taylor Swift? You get the horns, my friend.
Yeah.
You get the horns.
So, you know, as we spoke about recently, Taylor Swift, you know, was sued by a park. A theme park, I guess we would call it, in Utah, you know, called Evermore Park. And they were saying that, you know, the name of Taylor's second album last year, Evermore, infringes on their copyrights and that it's caused great confusion, this and that. You know, Taylor's attorney's first response was something along the lines of, are you kidding? And maybe there was a word in between you and kidding when they came back. And now Taylor Swift is countersuing, saying that, by the way, you guys have been playing my music at your park for several years without paying for it, without getting permission. So guess what? We're suing you too. So it's Taylor versus Evermore. I put your money on Taylor on both of these. I'd also put the money on one going away, you know, the suit from the park against Taylor going away and Taylor quietly dropping her suit, maybe. You know, because she's got a real suit here as opposed to the park suit.
Right. Does she have, I don't know, send spies there to record them playing her music?
Yeah, it's been verified. When you look at her suit, it's all been verified.
Wow.
So.
Well, good for her.
Yeah, well, no, she doesn't take, you know, evidence what she's doing with her catalog, you know, and re-recording her catalog. She doesn't lie down.
You know who stays out in front of us all the time on a regular basis, and I give him a ton of credit? Paul McCartney.
Yeah.
He makes it in here on a regular basis in your music news reports.
He works hard. He is a, you know, and I talk about a lot of these guys from that generation. They were raised to be working musicians. Working is your job.
Because he clearly could just take it easy if he wanted
exactly.
to.
In the meantime, you know, there's always at least one archival album a year, and every couple of years there's an album of new music. This fall we're going to be getting a book called The Lyrics 1956 to the Present that supposedly isn't just a lyric book, but is actually a memoir. And he's going to use his songs as the basis to tell his life story.
Well, is he going to explain the lyrics?
Yeah, he's going to explain the lyrics and where they came from in his songs. You know, and where, you know, how they came, where they came from in his life.
What song is the biggest Beatle mystery?
That's a good one. You know, well, Day in the Life, yes and no. We pretty much know. We pretty much know what that's about. Some of them you wonder about, like Oh Blah Dee, Oh Blah Da. Okay, you know, what's the story behind that? You know, what I guess we're hoping for in this book is to find out that things don't mean what we thought they meant, or have some deeper meaning or surprising inspiration that we wouldn't have expected. He's working on this with Paul Muldoon, who's a prize-winning Irish poet. He's going to write the introduction and also edit the book. So, you know, one hopes it's very enlightening. You know, Paul is kind of known for being very smooth, you know, in his interviews and such. And, you know, he's one of these guys, you feel like he's telling you a lot, and then when you go back over it, you realize, oh, he didn't say that much. It was interesting, but he didn't say that much.
You know, take all the books and music and writing and all that out of it. I think one of the coolest things he did was with James Corden.
What do you call it, Singing in Cars thing.
And then they went to that bar.
In Liverpool, yeah. Then they went to the bar and did the surprise show.
And his whole band is there. That was so cool.
Listen, this is the guy who drove, you know, he's Paul freaking McCartney, okay? We probably one of the ten biggest celebrities in the world. And remember a couple years ago, he and his wife went on a drive on Route 66, just the two of them, stopping in diners.
He was taking pictures at diners and gas stations with people who recognized him.
And he photobombs people, like in New York, if he's walking around the street, he's like Bill Murray, you know, somebody's taking a picture, you know, there's Paul McCartney photobombing you. He's just, I guess what in England they call it, a good bloke. But he seems about as normal as you can be for a superstar of this magnitude.
He's his own universe when it comes to musical superstars.
Oh yeah. So I hope the book's enlightening. I hope there's a lot of page turners and surprises in the book. Things we didn't know about. I'm going to be very interested when this comes out.
Is his childhood home or birthplace? Is it just owned by other people, or
somebody else owns it. It has the British blue plaque for a historical designation
right,
on it. They stopped there in the...
In the James Corden piece, they went through the house. He said, here's where I sat and played songs for my dad. And he said, well, what is... You know, and his dad wasn't a fan early on. His dad was like, well, what's that all about? Or something like that. I remember his dad just being very confused by the music he was writing. According to him.
Because it was another generation.
Yes, and even on the other end of that, Eddie the Eagle's father never understood his love of ski jumping.
Did we?
Maybe it's a common theme.
I guess you could understand his love of ski jumping, not his love of making a fool out of himself.
But he wasn't. He was a true amateur. He was.
I liked him. You know, good for him. He got on the team, and he went out there on the world's biggest stage, and
he jumped
into the air.
Well, he holds, you know, British records.
Right.
Because they didn't have anybody to do it.
No, they were not a ski jumping powerhouse.
Academy of Country Music music nominees, are they out?
I think they are. You know, I thought they were supposed to be out, and I haven't seen any.
Okay,
so,
all right.
So they could be out there, but you know, they're going to be doing the show in April, and they're going to be doing it again from several different sites around Nashville. It's going to be a quasi virtual show. You know. Socially distanced audiences in some places, other small audiences in other places, you know, all that stuff. They're going to go from the Grand Ole Opry House, the Ryman Auditorium, the Bluebird Cafe in Nashville. So,
all right, I'm not saying that these can't be interesting, because they certainly can. Ronnie James Dio's memoirs are coming out too, because you have McCartney's, but I think Dio's could be you know, like, oh, I didn't know that, or I didn't know that, right?
Yeah, oh, no, he's Rainbow in the Dark. It's going to be published on July 27th. And listen, this guy had a big career, you know. He Ritchie Blackmore's Rainbow. He was in Black Sabbath for a little while. He, you know, he claims to have invented the devil horns hand sign. You know, certainly did a lot in music.
And March 3rd, 1972. I invented the devil horns hand sign. Dear Diary.
Take that with its grain of salt, but I think it could be a very interesting book. He had started writing it before he passed away, and now it's been finished off by the guy he was working on it with.
Well, he certainly had enough fans who will be interested to read it, I'm sure.
Oh, no, I think there's going to be a lot of cool stuff there. He was eyewitness to a lot of great things.
What are Dave Grohl and his mother up to?
They are going to host a 6-part documentary show called Cradle to Stage. This is based on her book that she published in 2017, where she talked to other rock star moms about raising their rock star kids. And a very excellent book. So they're going to turn it into a TV series. Starts next month on this new Paramount Plus, which used to be the CBS Plus site, and it'll be good. You know, listen, it seems like everything Grohl touches is golden in one way or another.
Well, he's likable, and he's fun to watch.
He's likable. He's, well, you know,
you
fairly
do
normal
things well,
as a guy, too.
Too.
Yeah. No, I think, and she's, the book was really good, so I think there's every reason to expect that this is going to be a fun series to watch.
All right, and finally, are the Eagles going to get together and have a little cake this week? Are they going to get along for an afternoon?
Well, they get along
Which
just
one?
Fine, you know, pretty
right.
fine now.
As long as Don Felder doesn't come.
Yeah, you know, at a distance, exactly. But yeah, it was 45 years ago this week on Wednesday that their greatest hit, 1971-75, was awarded not just a platinum album, but the first platinum album by the Recording Industry Association of America. It used to be you got a gold record, and then they changed gold to 500,000 copies, platinum to 1 million copies.
Yeah,
so,
hopefully they get a cake that says, "Good luck on your continued success," or something like that, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, that would be very appropriate. And
could they make a band out of the X-Eagles?
Could they make a band out of the X-Eagles?
Because Randy Meisner can't hardly sing anymore, right?
Yeah, Meisner can't really do it, so you essentially have Don Felder and Bernie Ledden. And I guess if you add the assorted sidemen, the guys who went out on tour with them, it could be, you know, you could call it The Nest or something.
Or you could just not do it.
Or you could not do it, and I don't think they would.
All right, Gary, we're out of time.
Okay, have a great weekend.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.